Rating the Movies. Tonight's guest, film critic Judith Crist. Night Call is your program. Share your opinions and ideas with the rest of the country. Speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Night Call in New York City from anywhere in North America. Here are Night Call's special phone numbers. From the East and Midwest, call collect at area code 212-749-3311. From the West at 212-749-4300. And from the New York area at 866-5010. Now from New York City, Night Call's host, Del Shields.
Good evening. For years, the motion picture industry has had its own system for regulating the content of movies in what's known as the production code. But according to many critics of the system, it was not enough because it provided no regulations to restrict younger audiences from viewing such films as Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, Alfie, and Blow Up. Now there is a new system. During October, representatives of the majority of American movie producers, distributors, and theater owners announced a new rating system that will be administered by the film industry itself at the box office level. The new classification system provides four categories. The first is labeled G, films for general audiences. The second is called M, for mature audiences. The third, R, is restricted to those 16 or older, although younger persons will be admitted if accompanied by a parent or guardian. The last category of films is X, for those 16 or older without further restriction. Will this system make a difference? Will the ratings be easily available to the public? Do persons care about the nature of the film that they are seeing? Do parents in particular care about the films their children are seeing? Will the theater managers enforce these new regulations? These are some of the questions to ask our Night Call guest tonight. Standing by in New York City is Mrs. Judith Crist, America's most widely read and best-known movie critic. Mrs. Crist is movie critic for The Today Show, TV Guide, and The New York Magazine. She is the author of the just-published The Private Eye, The Cowboy, and The Very Naked Girl, movies from Cleo to Clyde. Mrs. Crist, good evening.
Good evening.
And thank you so very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Mrs. Crist, let's begin our conversation tonight by asking, what real effect will the new rating system have on the motion picture industry and upon the movie-going habits of the American public?
Well, I think the positive effect that it will have upon the movie-going public is that it is going to alert those parents who want to be alerted to certain movies. What has been happening in recent years during what we'll politely call the new freedom in the making of movies, the new frankness, the perhaps approach to the semi-reality of our daily lives that some movies have been making, I think one of the problems has been that many people have long regarded movies as sort of a family affair, and they have gone to movies as a family with children, and they have been shocked by what they have seen. They have suddenly come across nudity. They have come across rather frank language. They have come across certain forms of violence that certainly they would not want their children to see. And yet, people are indeed such sort of impulse moviegoers, such blind moviegoers, that they have had no way of knowing what they were going to see. As someone said, you know, a film like The Fox, somebody might think it was an animal story for children. And you can understand the jolt that they might get going there with a child. Therefore, you know, the M rating, which basically alerts parents to the fact that this is a mature film, or an R film, which would say that their child, their teen, lower teenager, must have an adult with him to see it. This at least gives them an awareness that it's not for five-year-olds. And certainly, in certain movies, children will be kept out. Now, the effect this has on the industry is basically that it gets the industry off the hook. You know, no one can now accuse the industry of corrupting the morals of the young because they say, well, we are keeping the young out of certain movies. This is, of course, where the theater owner is going to be the regulator, you know, and say no, no, no to the 15-year-old who wants to see a film. Actually, what I also feel is that it takes a restriction off a moviegoer, the movie maker, the truly creative movie maker, has never had to resort to what we might call obscenity or pornography or what have you to say what he wants to have said. This isn't the only form in which one can transmit ideas, you know, but it does enable people to exercise license rather than just freedom of expression in making films, because they don't have any responsibility. They can say, oh, well, you know, well, this is just for mature people. And we get right down to the question, and this, of course, is my quibble with it, of what is a mature person. Now, I am sure that you and I know many 15-year-olds who are a lot more mature and a lot better able to cope with the facts of life today than many 40 and 50 and 60-year-olds. You know, it's a very ephemeral thing. And so I feel that there's a great deal of injustice, A, in saying, you know, when you're 16 and up, sir, so you can suddenly face the facts of life. Some kids are not ready to face it when they're 25. Some have already faced them when they're 12. In the same way, I don't like a theater manager saying to me, no, you may not take your child into this movie. I happen to be of the school that thinks that no one's ever been raped by either a book or a movie. It's in the eye of the beholder. If kids know what is going on in one of these movies, they already know it. And if they don't know it, the movie really is not going to teach them terribly much about it.
I was just thinking that this seems to me to be another freedom that American people are going to give up, the choice of going to a movie, having to wait until a movie is given a particular classification. Isn't this kind of shirking responsibility?
I feel this way, and I feel, in a way, you know, and far be it for me ever to have been a defender of the movie industry, I don't think that it's up to the movie industry to take care of our children. I think it boils down to the fact that this is the responsibility of the home, and it really is up to me to decide what my child should or should not see. Now, the parent who cannot exercise the responsibility really can't expect a box office attendant, you know, to protect his child. I don't like the idea that kids will have to show how old they are, show some sort of ID card to get into a movie. You know, when I've argued this with Jack Valenti, who's the head of the Motion Picture Association, he replies, well, you can't drink until you're 18, and we restrict traffic and drugs, you can't drive a car until a certain age, and so forth. I don't know why we're putting movie going into this certain category. We don't put book reading into it, and so on. Movies are restricted enough simply by the price of admission, which seems to be going up, 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 up. I do indeed feel that this is sort of another incursion on our own freedoms.
Well, the movie owner is now in a very sensitive position.
Indeed he is. Of course, he has suffered. Very frankly, exhibitors have been the victims of block bookings. They've had to show movies that they themselves don't approve of, and at least this way they can do a certain amount of, again, getting themselves off the hook. But, you know, it's very funny. I saw a movie one day that rather shocked me, and in fact the display outside the movie was equally unpleasant. I was chatting with the theater manager, and he said, well, I had to take this film in order to get another film. It's a system of block booking. And he said, but you know, parents are very funny. He said, the other day I was just standing out here, and a woman came up with two little girls. And I went over to her and I said, you know, madam, I really don't think that this is a movie for little girls of 8 and 10. And she looked at him quite offended, and she said, oh, don't be ridiculous. I took them to see Virginia Woolf, and they loved it. You know, well, okay. So there are parents and parents, but I think that's what makes for a free society. This is one of the few privileges we may have. We may abuse the privilege, but I do think we ought to be free to raise our own children.
You have said that the movie industry permits teenagers to exert a bad influence on American films. What do you mean?
Well, I think that basically they have been catering to a teenage audience with many of its exploitations. They've really been treating us all as if we were 12-year-olds for too long a time. And this sudden notion, you know, that maturity is to be equated with sex and violence and so on, is a childish concept of what being grown up means. You know, the mature movie is not one that deals with great ideas. Oh, no, it's one that shows you naked people. I think that it has exercised the peculiar sort of puritanism that we expect from teenagers. You know, we've let them go to see the worst kinds of violence on the presumption that watching one man kick another's guts out is perfectly fine, but we don't want to see two people with beautiful bodies exercising those bodies in perhaps one of the potentially most beautiful experiences of mankind. You know, you may not see a naked breast, but you can see somebody bleeding to death and being hacked and slashed and so on. So that, you know, they have imposed a childish standard on movies in order to cater to the young. Over and over, there are things that grown-ups don't have to see, but teenagers will swallow it. It's the young, the youth cult, the whole... Well, I decided at one point this year, you know, that I was going to give an Oscar to any movie that didn't have a discotheque scene in it. This was to make kids feel that it was a real hip-swinging movie, you know, it was real with it. Suddenly there was a discotheque. Whether it had anything to do with the rest of the movie or not was not the point, but for teenagers. And the peculiar idols, we never really see people in movies anymore. We see the latest vogue among the very young. And, you know, everybody has to wear a miniskirt, regardless of age, because this appeals to the young. And it's a catering to the drive-in crowds. And it is because the teenagers, for a long time, have been the ones with the money. When, again, to go back to this classification thing, the box office in the United States is supported by people between the ages of 17 and 25. Which to me is probably the reason why the motion picture industry did not say that you had to be 18 years old in order to go to an X movie. But it's 16 so that we can get the big spenders, you know.
This is Night Call in New York, and our conversation tonight, rating the movies, and our guest calling in from New York is film critic Judith Crist. And a reminder to our Night Call listeners, our telephone number is here in New York at 866-5010. And if you're calling from the West, it's area code 212-749-4300. That's area code 212-749-4300. And if you're calling from the East or the Midwest, it's area code 749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. Remember, we welcome your calls collect as well as your responses and your conversation. We'll take our first call from Bloomington, Indiana. Mr. Stern is hearing Night Call over WFIU-FM. Mr. Stern?
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening. I was wondering why an X rating had to be added to the classification. It seems an R rating prevents the young from going to the theater, but still allows for parental discretion, while an X prevents any parent who is willing to allow his children to go to the theater, prevents them from doing so.
I think that the X rating was put on, you see, to keep the unescorted teenager out of certain movies. How many parents really do know which movies their 12-year-olds are going to on a Saturday afternoon? They take the money and they go and make their choice. And so this was put on in order to alert the box office person to keep the youngsters out, you see, when there is no parental guidance.
Yes. Just one other question. Last time I read, Walter Reed and his theater group was unwilling to go with the classification system. Would this major theater organization finally break the code?
Well, we are going to see certainly in New York how this works. They have, their claim is, that they have, where there have been unsuitable films, that their own box office managers have exercised that discretion on their own without the rating. And so far, as I know, they've run one X movie at the Walter Reed Theater, but alas and alack, it was so awful a movie, I would have kept anybody out of it. You know, what I object to is that there's nothing to protect the rest of us from an awful movie. We need something to take care of us over 16-year-olds, you know.
Mr. Stern, thank you for calling, sir. Thank you. This is Night Call in New York tonight, rating the movies with our guest film critic, Mrs. Judith Crist. We'll return to our guest following station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest movie critic Judith Crist after station identification.
The year 2000 is a little more than a generation away. For our cities, the question is precisely this. Will the new millennium mark a celebration or a wake? If you think you can sit snug in a suburban split level while the cities slide downhill, you're only kidding yourself. Slums won't stop at the city line any more than commuters do. What happens to our cities happens to our suburbs. Together, we can remake our cities. We will. We must. If you think there's nothing you can do to help, think harder.
Send for the free booklet, The Turning Point. Write Night Call, Pomona, New York. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to guest film critic Judith Crist about rating the movies. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-4300. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our conversation tonight, rating the movies with our guest film critic, Mrs. Judith Crist, calling in from New York, and this time out to, or we'll stay here in New York. We'll take Mr. Cantor, who's hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. Mr. Cantor?
Yes, good evening, Del, and good evening, Miss Crist.
Good evening, sir.
I can't hear her.
She's right here.
I can hear her.
Here I am.
Miss Crist, I'm going to tell you that, in my opinion, this idea of rating the movies is an idiotic idea. And I'll tell you why with an analogy towards reading. In the Nordic countries like Denmark and Norway and and Sweden, the kids don't read readers like they do here. But they read books like Dennison, and they read Soren Abel Kierkegaard and the such, as a training for reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that with the movies, as far as their rating, the only stuff that children will be able to see will be stuff like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang and Walt Disney stuff other than The Light in the Forest and stuff of that nature, junk of that nature. And I do not feel that they can mature to the extent of seeing either an X movie, and some of them are very good, like, I think, what's the name of the movie? The Magus received an X rating. And there are some movies that are still not rated, like there was a very...
Is the Magus X or is it R?
I think it's X.
X, well it should
be.
It's
R because it's
a dreadful movie.
Pornographic.
Huh?
It's too beautiful to be pornographic. That's its main drawback. But I don't feel that the kids will be accomplishing anything. I think that what we're doing is we're hiding the kids from any sort of art or something like that. And I feel that it's wrong to do this, that it should be that parents should, first of all, parents, if they are really interested in what's good or bad for their kids, they can get the green sheet quite easily at the library. It comes out every month announcing which movies are the dirty movies and which movies are the clean movies and which movies are the bloody movies. Also, there are a number of smaller films that are coming out that won't ever even get on the list, but kids will definitely see them. Like, I saw a very well done but bloody film called Night of the Living Dead. Have you seen it?
No.
I'd advise it.
Miss
it's a brilliantly made film.
Yeah.
Even if you hate the genre.
And, I love it. Is it zombies?
Excuse me?
Is it about zombies?
No, it's more like about ghouls.
Oh, great.
Very disgusting.
Yeah.
But it's very well done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very bloody, too. But it was made in Pittsburgh by a TV station, KDKA.
Uh-huh.
Practically. And such things like this won't ever be hit the list. And then there was one time there was a booking of a film called Poor White Trash, which was a very bad film, which was booked with another film called I Hate Your Guts, which was a very good film. And the whole idea of that was that they said that armed guards would keep all little kids out of the theaters, and kids were walking right by these guards and everything else, and they didn't learn much about sex, but they learned something about sociology. And I really feel that it'll be depriving youngsters of vital experiences, so that when they, and nowadays, there are a number of children who do not read, and for whom the movies are the only medium, the movies and the TV. And I feel that it would be depriving them of vital educational experiences.
Well, I would agree with you entirely, Mr. Cantor, on principle, you see. I think, I believe that the only kind of censorship that should exist anywhere, at any time, is self-censorship. And say, in the case of movies, the censorship must be exercised, A, by the movie maker on himself, which is basically creative discipline, and B, by the movie goer, old or young. You know, this is the only place where censorship should exist. But on the other hand, and to be very practical about it, actually it is not going to deprive children of very much. As a matter of fact, I have found that many of the movies that are unrestricted, you know, that are for general audiences, to me are far more obscene in the morality, in the sociology, and everything else that they present to children than some of the movies marked X. But so far in the...
Would you agree that Oliver would be some sort of movie of that nature?
Well, Oliver is a musical.
But kids are going to see it.
And it's an old-fashioned, it's a very old story. It is really not that offensive, because once you accept certain premises about putting Oliver to music, you know.
That's what it's even worse offensive.
Well,
do you forget that
to me this is never, never land.
Fagin and Bill Sykes are just bums and crooks.
They're fairy tale characters. You know, no child is going... kids know. They are so smart today in comparison to what we were. I don't know about you, but I was 10 years old before I realized that people who got killed in movies weren't really dead. Kids today can sit down and make a movie from about the fourth grade on. And when they go into a movie house, they know they are going into never, never land. Of course you get caught up in it, but very frankly, out of the first 100 movies that were rated, 4 of them were given X's. And every one of those that got an X very frankly, I would not choose to have my child see, simply because they were utterly lousy movies. Mm-hmm. And here's where, of course, we get into the controversy, because I think it's pretty generous to give the Magus an X rating. I think it is one of the most muddle-headed, silliest abortions of a brilliant novel that I have ever come across.
It was a very aborted thing.
Oh, I mean, it was just pointless, and it had just enough mention of existentialism and just enough mention of this and that and just enough incoherence so that, you know, 17-year-olds think, wow, I am having an experience. There must be something intellectual because
well,
I don't understand
it. That film was that it was too beautiful.
Well, look, have you said there are very few... Yeah, you know, but
the
nowadays...
The thing was the pornography.
Nowadays, there are very few ugly movies. Movies are technically so advanced that the cheesiest, crummiest movie is quite beautiful because of film techniques and the very quality of color film itself. But I don't think kids will, under this particular classification system, be missing terribly much of quality. There is ultimately... You see,
I'm not saying about quality. I'm saying about an education of how the world is.
Well,
because the only stuff they'll get will be Shitty Chitty Bang Bang and Oliver, which, as you said, are totally fairy tales.
Yeah, but they can also see a number of other films that say are for the mature audience. They can still go in and see them. And the ones that will be R or X, either they can get themselves a guardian to take them in. We used to do that when I was a kid in Toronto, and you couldn't go to the movies without an adult at night. My brother and I used to walk up to a grown-up and say, hey, mister, here's my money, take me in. And they took you in.
And you were taken in by a dirty old man.
Well, no, I'd go with my brother, and we'd move to another park.
Mr. Canna, thank you for calling, sir.
Troy.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. This time out to Troy, New York. Mr. Swine is hearing Night Call over WGY. Mr. Swine?
Swine, man.
Swine, how are you, sir?
Very fine, and you?
Fine, thank you.
Mrs. Chris?
Yes.
I believe in Britain they have some sort of rating system, don't they?
Yes, they have exactly this one. And they found, as I think we're going to find, that the main thing that the X rating did was just open the floodgates to the making of pornographic film. But one thing they do have in Britain that we do not, they do have a censor. And he does get the ultimate scenes out of the films.
Do you think it would be helpful if we had something like that here to censor the films made in the United States for viewing here?
Well, very frankly, I don't believe in it. There are, I think, about 55 localities in about 5 states that still have some sort of censorship. In fact, just today I read that a judge in Bloomington, Indiana, not Bloomington, but in Indiana, had ruled against Thérèse and Isabel, which is just an awful grind movie. It purports to be about lesbians. It has two kind of scrawny women pawing each other. I mean, it's a very unappetizing and dull movie, but the judge ruled it obscene, and I think that's unfortunate. I think he's just added another $1 million to the box office for Thérèse and Isabel. You know, I think that censorship does... Telling kids you may not see this movie because it's dirty makes seeing that movie the goal of their lives. I mean, you know, when you... we went through school just reading the last part of Ulysses because it had been banned in Boston, you know. And it puts the wrong emphasis on things. I think restriction is in this kind of thing. I'm not talking about drugs, and I'm not talking about automobile driving or whatever. If you want to offer a guide for parents, and I think Mr. Cantor was absolutely right, there is the green sheet, there's your local movie critic, there are guides. I don't think this classification system is going to hurt anybody, really, but I don't think it's going to help, and I don't like some of the inherent principles in it.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York, and tonight we are discussing and conversing on rating the movies with our guest calling in from New York, film critic Mrs. Judith Crist. Mrs. Crist, you said that there are 100 movies that have already been rated under this new system, and only 4 have received the next rating. It seems that it's a rather liberal code.
Yes, indeed it is. The scenes are, they are very raw. Some of the scenes are extremely well done. They're tastefully well done.
we can take the case of perhaps the movie that is being most publicized at the moment, is The Killing of Sister George, in which there is a love scene between two women. And the maker of this movie, and, you know, I think here we're getting to the nub of why classification and what's happening to movies today. The maker of the movie has been extremely honest about it. He's an extremely good filmmaker. It's Robert Aldrich, who has made a number of the very best movies that have come out of Hollywood, and he's made a number of the very worst. He's a real pro movie maker. The love scene was not in the stage play from which the film is derived, and it is not necessary. You get the idea. You understand their relationship. But he points out, who is going to, our movie-going habits are such that who will go to see a play about a British television actress that stars people like Beryl Reed, Susanna York, and Carl Brown? I mean, who are they? It's not Steve McQueen and Julie Christie, or, you know. And therefore, because there is a dirty scene in this movie, it is being publicized and people are going to go to see it. And hopefully, while they are waiting for the sensational scene to show up on the screen, they are going to see some very fine performances and they are going to learn something about the essential story of this movie, which is about the cruelties that we inflict on each other in our private and in our professional lives, in our public lives and privately. It is about man's inhumanity to man or woman's inhumanity to woman. It is about cruelty. Maybe this is the way you have to shill people today. I don't know. People have made very fine films in which there are no sensational scenes and nobody goes to see them. The fault ultimately is in the moviegoer. We want to see that scene. You know, we want the excitement. We're the guilty ones, really.
Mrs. Christ will return following station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest movie critic Judith Christ after station identification. Night Call welcomes your comments about this nationwide listener call-in program. Your opinions and reactions are of value to the producers of Night Call in their continuing attempt to initiate and stimulate dialogue between the black man in the street and his white counterpart. Please address your comments to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. The producers of Night Call attempt to balance the points of view presented on this series about controversial issues. In keeping with this traditional concern for free expression on controversial matters, Night Call invites requests for equal time from responsible representatives on opposing points of view if it's thought they have not been adequately represented on the air. Such requests should be addressed to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself. Collect from anywhere in North America to guest film critic Judith Christ about rating the movies. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-4300. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to our guest tonight, film critic Mrs. Judith Christ, calling in from New York as we continue our conversation on rating the movies. And out to Seattle, Washington, Mr. Miller is hearing Night Call over KUOW-FM. Mr. Miller, good evening.
Yes, sir. Good evening.
How are you, sir?
Fine. I'd like to take in disagree with your guest tonight on a statement she made earlier that although it may be literally true that no one has ever been raped by a movie, the effects of modeling, which is in the psychological world known as modeling, on children is quite well known. In fact, I have in front of me a study done by a gentleman by the name of Albert Bandura, very well respected man in the field of psychology, in the modeling field. And they found in one particular experiment in 1963 that children will model exactly and sequence for sequence an aggressive behavior on a screen. Now, this is shown on a film to children that appear to be somewhere between 8 and 15 years of age. And there was a female model that went through four aggressive acts toward a Bobo doll. Yeah, I'm sure you're familiar with those. They kicked it and punched it and threw it. And the children later, when left alone with a Bobo doll, went through the sequence exactly, sequence for sequence, as the model had done. Now, this isn't to say that this is, of course, movies are all bad, you know, because children could follow what they do. And in fact, modeling also works the other way, where children will model good behavior as far as heroes and this type of a thing. But to say that no one has ever been raped by a movie implies that movies don't do any harm toward the morals or the actions of children, which unfortunately isn't. As far as all the evidence I've uncovered so far, I've been working this a while, it's just not true. I wonder if...
But aren't you not getting in the area, sir, assuming that movies is that influential or are that influential that you are not, or you're neglecting to mention that there are other forces that are also involved in affecting children?
Oh, this is very true. There are many other forces. I mean, as a matter of fact, movies is one of the fewer. Television, books, which you also included with movies, these all have a great modeling effect on the behavior of children. Now, to say that this causes aggressive behavior is obviously going too far. You really can't say that. But the experiments that have been done with just films, short films, on children do show that they model quite well.
Oh, well, look, I would not, I mean, I've been a movie nut all my life, and not only do I credit about 80% of what I know, but a great many of my attitudes and my life's experiences and so on are influenced by and based upon the things I have learned from film. And certainly it is the most encompassing of the media, you know, the most personal. It's larger than life, it's bigger than you are, you're in the dark, you're alone while you're undergoing the movie experience. But when you could sit, and we never quite know what is going to trigger the disturbed personality. And certainly a movie is an overwhelming experience for certain personalities. But when I stop to consider the number of hours a child spends exposed to a movie and the number of hours children spend exposed to television, then I think we are really worrying about the wrong thing. Because to me, the very terrible thing about television is an influence. And remember, please, that I work also in television. I'm talking about my own medium. But in television, to me, the frightening thing is that there is no differentiation, really, between reality and make-believe. One minute you're watching somebody's Heroes or Rangers or a World War II movie, and the next minute you are seeing newsreels of Vietnam. And not many children are terribly much aware that the actors in the news report are not going to get up and walk away and wash the blood off. And to me, this is one of the most terrifying things of our age, where so many of our kids have seen an actual assassination happening in the living room of their home and sat right through it as voyeurs. I think this should be far more our concern than the once a week or even twice a week 2 hours that a child spends in a movie. And most of the time the stuff is so absolutely nonsensical that it goes right off his back. But it's repeated at home endlessly on these countless hours of television.
Yes, well, I didn't mean to jump on the movie industry. In fact, like I say, the movies are among the lesser of the evils, if you consider that as an evil. But the modeling effect of aggression, I'm not particularly convinced on the sexual aspects of this. I'm concerned mainly with aggression, harmful. Well, what we define aggression as is being harmful to another organism. Is a point. I saw the previews to the movie Green Beret, mm-hmm. and And in the previews, I don't think I've ever seen so much. I really don't know how quite to describe it. It's violence in its most crude form, compacted in approximately 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was just, it was, to me as an adult, was terrifying. I can't conceive of this happening, of course. Now, I've been to Vietnam, and I'm back, and I know this happens.
Mm-hmm.
But I would not have my child watch this type of violence. So, for instance, the man being thrown backwards on a rack of bamboo stakes. Now, it's true, this does happen.
Yeah.
But the question is, well, why does it happen? And I don't want my child to see this. And then, of course, now, in The Green Beret, this is the heroes do this, you see. The heroes break these things. And John Wayne is a good guy, and he goes around, he blasts 40 people with one hand grenade.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really good. And my question is, what happens when a child who possibly could have some tendency toward this type of aggression finds a hand grenade? What does he do? If he's just come out, or a month later he saw John Wayne kill 40 people and get rewarded for it. This is my point.
But you know, with or without that movie, good old Daddy and Mommy have been giving him guns and machine guns and little plastic hand grenade models from the time that he's 3 years old.
We're winning there, though, because if you look at some of the stores now, like Sears and Roebuck doesn't carry machine guns anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
many
I think
stores don't.
Finally, we're beginning to learn a little bit, you know, but it's our civilization, and boy, I mean, movies are just a reflection of it to me. You know, they are one facet of it, and it is life all around us that we have to be greatly concerned with.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you entirely. I mean, it's a glib phrase. I really mean, you know, that a movie alone is not going to distort anyone's view of life. You know?
Mr. Miller, thank you for calling, sir.
Just take me a second. There's one real answer to this that everybody seems to come up with. Well, that movies allow a person to take out his aggression in a make-believe feel. This is called the catharsis model, and it's been proven many, many times not to work. It just doesn't happen. It was a make-believe distinction made up in, I think it was the late 40s or the early 50s to rule out this against censorship. It's just not true. People do not dissipate their aggressive behavior watching a movie. If anything, they model that behavior. They learn how to channel it into something which could be instructive or constructive if the movie was of a type where this behavior was shown. But generally, this aggressiveness is shown as destructive. Somebody blows a house up or burns a house down or this type of thing. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, sir. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Out to DeSoto, Missouri, Mr. Ray is hearing Night Call over KMOX FM. Mr. Ray?
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
I would like to compliment first Miss Christ on some excellent points, well made, and would like to throw out a couple of considerations from the grassroots level in the small community which we represent, and what effect the Motion Picture Association rating will have on small communities. The question would be, directed to Ms. Christ, how effective will this thing be, and what will it do to the small town whose only source of entertainment would be the movie theater, if we're going to keep out families?
Yeah, well, I do think, don't worry, you'll still be getting the family picture. But the one advantage, I suppose, is going to be that you're going to know it's a family picture.
Here is a point. I recently editorialized on this and got a surprising reaction from it. We are affected by block booking in DeSoto from a large theater chain. This sort of thing happens. Walt Disney's Family Band was booked with Conqueror Worm. Now, what do you do in a case like that?
Yeah. Well, this is the whole trouble. You know what you do? Actually, the grown-ups in the community get together and they start renting 16 millimeter movies.
They show
them in their school or in their church, and they start their own film society.
Does this put a pinch on a large chain operation, though?
Right, and then you get your chain operation to start thinking about, now, just who are my clientele?
All right.
And then you don't subject every adult, say, in a community,
to that family band movie for 3 months, or you don't subject the kids in your community to the Sandpiper with Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. And one summer, you know, I don't think there was a movie house in the United States that was not stuck with that movie.
Everyone had to have that.
Right.
Now, what do we do if you'll read the flack that Jack Valenti sent out, which spurred me to write my editorial? It mentions in there, in passing, along with all of the other grand proposals, that films submitted for ratings will be given the ratings. There are these old grade double C turkeys which come out, which probably wouldn't even be submitted and wouldn't even rate an X rating.
Well, then, according to their theory, you see, their theater owners are not going to show them, are not going to show unrated films. If you want your film to be shown in the legitimate, you know, the overground movie houses, mm-hmm. Then you must submit it for a rating.
But of course they're going to show them. What are we saying? You made a point earlier in the program that movie going was inherently family-oriented, and that certainly is the case in a community like ours, which I feel is representative of many communities in which movie-going was a family thing.
Yeah.
Or let's drop the kids off Friday evening, go over to Mabel's and play cards and pick up the kids a little later.
Right.
Well, you can't do that anymore.
Yeah. Well,
and
yeah.
So the kids hang around the streets, maybe, if they are told to stay out of a movie. But what the case usually turns out to be is that if it has a hot rating on it, this tells the kids that we got a live one here and we don't want to miss this one. And
yeah.
They have no trouble getting in a movie because, you know, people aren't packing theaters anymore.
Right. And I have really wondered about what a box office person or a theater manager is going to do when he has 20 kids with that $2 clutched in their hot little hands and nobody inside his theater.
Well, these are the facts of life. Furthermore, the little girl selling the tickets goes to school with the kids during the day in many cases.
Right.
Where you have people locally hired to tear the tickets or sell them. They're not going to tell their contemporaries that they can't come see the movie.
Of course not. And, now Jack Valenti will say, look, we're trying.
But are they trying? I think I call it a shabby public relations gambit, and this isn't based upon any moral pretext or anything. It's just a crummy way to try to exonerate themselves.
I agree with you all the way, and the whole trouble is, again, that this to me offers no encouragement to the few movie makers, you know, who are doing the kind of movie that we can enjoy as a family.
There's some very sensitive, very, very sensitive movie makers. I take American Cinematographer. I'm very interested in movie making. But these people aren't given a chance to really exhibit what they can do or to give the American public a chance to say what they want. The response here was, after my little piece, if more people, more families would support these movies, there'd be more family movies. Well, that's a bunch of hogwash.
Right.
Mr. Ray, thank you for calling, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York. We'll return to our guest, Mrs. Judith Crist, and rating the movies following station identification.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest movie critic Judith Crist after station identification. Monday night on Night Call. Is there life after death? With a bishop of the Episcopal Church who says indeed there is. The Right Reverend James A. Pike resigned last year as Bishop of California to become a member of the staff of the Center for the Study of Democratic Institutions. His new book is called The Other Side, and in it he describes how he has communicated with his son, who committed suicide. Bishop Pike says he knows there is life after death because he has been able to reach his son, and will tell you of other psychic phenomena he has experienced, which he also offers as proof. Is there life after death? With Bishop James A. Pike, Monday night on Night Call. Ask your own questions direct. Speak for yourself collect from anywhere in North America to guest film critic Judith Crist about rating the movies. Call Night Call Collect from the East and Midwest on area code 212-749-3311. From the West on area code 212-749-4300. And from the New York area on 866-5010. Again, Del Shields.
Rating the movies is our conversation tonight with our guest, film critic Mrs. Judith Crist. And Mrs. Crist, you stated earlier that the movies does influence people. And I was wondering, in the area of race relations, can the movies do anything to improve relations? And also your opinion, I know that you did a review of Uptight. I didn't read it. But I was wondering your opinion of that particular film, whether you feel that this will in some way help race relations in this country.
I wish Uptight were better than it is in a number of ways. To me, the unfortunate thing about Uptight, which is one of the best acted films I have seen in a long time, the cast is absolutely brilliant, but it is The Informer. 1916 IRA in Dublin imposed on 1968 Cleveland, Ohio, and while it presents a fair discussion of black power in a violent or nonviolent form, it doesn't take a position. It just cops out. You know, it opens up a discussion, and it goes nowhere. It resolves itself into the punishment of an informer by a group of militants. So that, to me, it doesn't get down to the nub of black and white relations, and this, to me, is a terribly important thing. I think about the only honest film that has been made to date has been Nothing But a Man, which, to me, is one of the most powerful and sensitive films ever made about the black man, because it dealt with him as a man. And to me, this is the kind of film that I think we are aching for. I loathe something like Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which was one of the most patronizing movies I have ever come across. I think In the Heat of the Night did something still not enough about our contemporary situation. This is one of the most neglected fields. I, for one, think that it has been great that people like Ossie Davis, say in The Scalp Hunter, or the entire Poitier career, to me, has been fine because he is such a good actor. But I still think the movies are not coming to grips with this subject at all. When they do, it's in a very patronizing way. It is a rare film. One thing you have to say about Uptight, of course, is that it approaches the black issue of violence or nonviolence with honesty. I suppose I just want things to be better than they are. I think movies can be a vital factor in this, but you've got to get down to the subject with honesty. And until you have black men making the films and speaking forthrightly, instead of having white patrons kind of do their duty by the issue, I feel sadly that we are not going to get anywhere. The record of Hollywood on this whole issue is so really shocking that it's to me, this is the blot, you know, upon our record.
Well, if Hollywood was to take a more positive stand, or as you say, to face more forthrightly the issue, would this not take the movie idiom or the movie medium out of the entertainment area?
No, because the best way to educate, you know, is to do it by entertainment. And I think that in a very large part, it was a very important thing. I mean, to be very realistic about it, I think a movie like To Sir With Love, I know everything that was wrong with it, but this was terribly important because it brought to hundreds upon thousands of teenagers, all over, of kids, a picture of a black man with which so many of them were unfamiliar. And it may be, you know, if we're going to be terribly intellectual about it, we will say, oh, well, this is a very romantic, and this was a very beautiful, and this was, you know, it was Never Never Land. Nevertheless, even through Never Never Land, you take a step forward. I don't think entertainment is all, ha, 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 let's swing and rock and so forth. I think a powerful drama, something like Nothing But a Man. You can't educate people without entertaining them. I mean, you can't give people sermons. And you have to reach them where it means something, which is through your heart and through your sense of humor and, through the old tear duct or however you're going to do it. But you have to touch people on an entirely human level.
Mrs. Crist, we'll come back to you and we'll take more calls. But first, a moment out to tell our Night Call listeners about next week.
Next week on Night Call, a bishop of the Episcopal Church who believes you can communicate with the dead, the first vice president of the Republic of New Africa, the NAACP attorney who was fired for criticizing the Supreme Court, a doctor who wants to legalize abortion, and a Jew who says hurting Whitey doesn't help the black man. Monday, the Right Reverend James A. Pike, is there life after death? Tuesday, Milton Henry. He says Alabama, Georgia, Louisiana, Mississippi, and South Carolina should be turned over to the black man right now. Wednesday, Lewis Steele. He says the nine men in black think white. Thursday, Dr. Robert Hall. He wants to legalize abortion. And Friday, Nathan Perlmutter of the American Jewish Committee on Black Anti-Semitism. All this next week on Night Call. Again, Del Shields.
And we'll take a call from Tucson, Arizona. Mrs. Bell is hearing Night Call over KTUC. Mrs. Bell? Good evening.
Yes.
I want to ask you what we as adults can do to help get cleaner movies, less violence, less sex, a good wholesome movies.
Well, I think, although, you know, it's the pat answer, I think you just have to react. I think too few of us ever ask for our money back. Once you have bought your movie ticket, you have voted in favor of that movie.
Yes, that's right.
You know, no one ever knows whether you fell asleep,
yes,
whether you walked out, whether you threw up, you know.
Yes.
Nobody knows what's happened to you after you've bought that ticket.
Well,
must be more vocal about it.
Well, how can we be more vocal?
Well, I think you have to start right on your local level,
yes,
at your box office.
Yes.
And you have to make your film house proprietor know that you are his patron and you are not going to be his patron.
Yes, but I would be just one out of hundreds who would flock to a dirty movie.
Well,
I
do think that there are enough people, but everyone feels, gee, I'm all alone. And it is very square of me, not to like this movie and that movie.
Yes.
But I do think that the best anyone can do in our society is say, well, maybe I am just that voice in the wilderness, but my voice is going to be heard.
I see that.
Mrs. Bell, thank you so much for calling. Thank you. Mrs. Crist, thank you so much for being our guest tonight on Night Call.
It was really my pleasure.
This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the first and only nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Monday night, same time, same station, Is There Life After Death? With Bishop James A. Pike, who says there is. Listen Monday night, discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.